listener production. Giddy up. It's another brand new ep of the Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Yeehaw.
Happy Wednesday to you and clap them in. Big round of applause, Matt O'Kine. The Earthworm crowned UK Invertebrate of the Year by Guardian readers. Congratulations.
Wow.
Absolutely romping it in with 38% of the votes.
I knew they had it in them.
Yep.
Unlike a spine.
You had it not in them, which is a spine. But all the competitors didn't have a spine in this one. Coming in last, the Asian or yellow-legged hornets, just 0.8%, an absolute nightmare of a year for the yellow-legged hornets. I'm going to have to come back bigger and better in 2025. But
that's it.
Earthworm, you're in favourite invertebrate?
I've been seeing a couple around my house, to be honest, and I'm a little bit nervous about them. Like, can you have earthworm infestations? Can they do damage? I don't know.
I think they need dirt. Pretty sure they're not going to be climbing along the kitchen benches, getting into your cereal boxes.
They need dirt. I hope they don't find my comedy back catalogue. That will make absolute manure of that.
At least someone could make use of it. Hey, we've got a big show for you today. We are going, away into the wilderness someplace. I wonder if our guest today, wouldn't be surprised if he ate worms recently.
Yes, they're doing things that many people would be far too scared to do. We are chatting to contestant from Alone, the SBS hit show, Alone Australia. Andreas is going to be joining us. Hey, also Alex Dyson. From the ground to the cup, we are going to be chatting about a little bit of tea that's unfolding overseas. It's going to be a good one. We're also finding out where some of you have hooked up or who you've hooked up with.
Yeah, it's going to be orkies.
Extremely orkies. Let's dive in. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Well, Alex Dyson, get the Liptons out. Hey, the little China cups. Boil the kettle. It's time for some morning tea.
I've been having more of the Twinings, Lemon and Ginger recently, keeping those vocal chords nice and silky smooth.
I'm not a tea man. Never have been, never will be.
Very early on in the career to say you're not drinking tea. Just you wait, mate. Just you wait. It's only a matter of time till O'Kine is dropping a tea bag in, I reckon.
I still feel terrible for the things I said about anchovies early on in my career.
Groveling at the anchovy altar.
I am so embarrassed.
Begging for forgiveness.
Every time I have one of those little bad boys on a piece of bread, I just think, I hope you didn't hear what I used to say about you.
Yeah, and every waiter that puts one down, you just feel a bit
just
bashful.
Just a bit of guilt. Yeah. Meanwhile, the olives are in the bowl over-listening. Hey, what about us, mate?
Haven't heard an apology yet either.
So the tea. I tell you who loves tea though, rappers. I mean, while they're all about rap, you know, rapping about the Chivas, hey, and the cognac, they don't talk about the tea much, and they love it.
They should be name dropping. The amount of tea that comes out of rap beefs, you know, they should be, instead of name dropping Henny or Bub in the club, it should be, you know, Earl Grey all day.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. Did you hear about this Drake thing where a diss track has popped up on the internet, has been leaked over the internet, called Push Ups, Drop and Give Me 50, okay, in which he appears to take shots at people like Rick Ross, The Weeknd, Future, and Kendrick Lamar.
Jeez, that's getting them all done in one. Like, it's carrying all the bags from the boot of the car into the house, isn't it? Just popping all those in one song. Spread it out, Drake.
I know. Yeah, he went in, didn't he? I mean, he's sculled the birthday champers in that one go. You can sip it, mate. Don't worry. The night's long. You don't have to.
Okay.
Shotgun it.
I think a while ago, wasn't Drake and Pusha T having some?
Mate, this is do you know how the Kendrick Drake diss sort of happened, right? Drake in one of his songs says, Drake and J. Cole did a collab, and in the song, Drake and J. Cole rap something along the lines of, it's Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick, the big three, right? So then Kendrick drops a song a couple of months later where he says, there ain't no big three. It's just big me.
Oh.
Right?
Damn. I mean, that is a pretty good response. But it also, if that happened in like a primary school, I would... You could have made me think that happened in a primary school. Where are the big three? No, it's just big me.
Everyone going, oh! Oh, stop! Somebody stop him!
Mrs. Robertson, hands on the side of her face, just... It's all going off.
Instead, then it just turns into flames, like, you know, adding petrol to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So Drake comes out shooting shots in this track, push-ups, drop and give me 50. Apparently making fun of Kendrick's, you know, guest appearances on things like Bad Blood, making fun of his size, saying he has size 7 shoes.
Yeah.
Says Maroon 5 need a verse, you better make it witty. then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top say drop, you better drop and give him 50. Pipsqueak, pipe down.
Ooh.
You ain't no big three. Scissor got you wiped down. Travis got you wiped down. Savage got you wiped down.
Wiped down here, people.
Like your label, you're into scope right now. Okay, so.
What does that mean?
I didn't actually get that last bit, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know either.
Right now.
Anyways, here's the twist. Okay, now, while this is all going on, and Rick Ross and Drake are having a beef as well, by the way, I will add.
Mm.
While all this is going on, here's the catch. Some are wondering whether it's real at all.
What do you mean?
Well, they're suggesting that could this be an AI diss track whipped up by someone who... So a little master chef... In their bedroom kitchen, who wants to taste a little bit of that pho?
And so, just used like the Drake voice, like people do with Biden's voice and Trump's voice. Sometimes they've just got an AI version of Drake to sing this track.
Because Drake has not officially, at this stage, come out and said, "Yeah, this is my track."
I mean, what a world we live in now, where rappers releasing songs has turned into like terrorist organizations and their attacks, and then on the news it's like, as yet no one has claimed responsibility for this.
For the savagery.
Yeah. You've got to wait for the official claiming of responsibility of it. This is unbelievable. What a world that.
So anyways, look, we're not going to add any fire to the flames. I love them all, you know. Earl Grey or a little bit of bloody the Japanese green tea, I'm into it all.
Mm.
No enemies here.
What size are your shoes?
Size 14. A little bit more difficult to rap about.
He's on what we call the double Kenny. This is all day breakfast. Well, Matt, yesterday we heard from PJ, who made probably one of the worst hookup decisions of his life, or of anyone's lives, where he got a little bit frisky with his apartment complex concierge. It probably would have been better to now either move out or marry them, because currently he's in the awkward phase post hookup, where he's just walking past every day and has to see that person every single day and ask them, do you have any packages for me, and things such as that.
Do you have any packages for me? Because I've got one for you. All right, come on, mate. Clean your act up.
Hang on a second. You can't say a dirty joke and then tell me to clean my act up.
Well, yes.
What the hell is that?
Because if you hadn't left that mess on the floor, I wouldn't have slipped on it. All right? Clean your act up. Okay. Now, having only worked in very few actual offices, and I'll admit that straight up. I mean, even now I'm working, you know, doing some TV stuff out of an office, and I see the people who, you know, who work there regularly. And I got to tell you, I like these people. We get along great. Mm. But there's only so many times you can walk past someone in a hallway without relegating yourself to the point of just a mere, like actually just like looking at your phone, pretending that you are doing something. Because you cannot do a little wink or a nod or like a little anymore.
Ignoring them. So
and then I haven't hooked up with any of these people. So who knows how god awful it must be.
Yeah. So we, in order to make PJ feel better about this, we asked you, what is the most awkward hookup you've had, where you've had to keep seeing the person afterwards. Amber said, at least three of my bosses.
Mm. Amber, good friend of the show.
Is that the same workplace? Like, are they each other's bosses as well? Like, is that the chain of command?
I don't know, but I actually, the first time I met Amber was a very long time ago at a pub.
But you haven't met Amber before.
I know Amber because, she's called into the show heaps of times. Mm. We've spoken to Amber lots, but the first time I met Amber was at a pub because I was doing comedy there. So I'm not going to say anything more because I don't want to. Or maybe I should have said, maybe I've said too much. But anyways, they've been I believe that Amber might be talking about hospitality places of work.
Got you.
Okay, so there might be managers, et cetera, of the bar or whatever. That's my guess. But maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
Amy from Melbourne got in touch. I hooked up with my boss's boss. I later found out he was dating another colleague who also found out about it at the time. Whew.
That's all keys.
Tell you what, HR earning their money in that situation. Rach, my ex-fling ditched me for his now wife. Their son goes to daycare with my daughter. There's been many awkward drop-offs.
Oh, no. That is tough. Okay, so the ex has left her for another woman.
Yep.
The son goes to the same. All right,
that's funny. I went to a daycare with my mate Dave's partner, Lauren. Dave was at work. I walked with Lauren to the daycare with the kid. And just people are in daycare and I was looking after the little baby while the infant went in. Then the amount of times I got confused for the dad of this baby, just in like five or 6 minutes.
Yeah, maybe that's because you're holding a baby out the front of a daycare center.
But if you bump it into the people there.
Do you know what I mean? It's like me going into a hospital, grabbing a random baby, being like, yeah, the amount of times people thought I was the dad is so weird, eh?
Jazz says, I moved overseas to take a pro sports job as a physio. I hooked up with a guy at a club on one of my first days in the new city. A month later, I turned up to my first preseason game for the club to meet the player and old mate from my night on the town who was also on the team.
Okay. So, yeah, you're going to have to.
It's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
You already know the firmness of their rubdowns. It's perfect.
All day breakfast.
Well, Matt, ever since the TV show premiered, I have been wondering whether or not I could survive in the wilderness for an indeterminate amount of time, eating only what I could catch myself. And now I get to ask someone who has actually given it a go, given SBS is screening their second season of Alone Australia. We thought we'd get someone on to ask all about it. It's happening tonight at 7:30 p.m. But I can see him from the comfort of his home right now. It's Andreas Lunden. Hello, Andreas.
Hello. It's a lot Andreas. More warm and comfy in here, I can tell you that.
Oh, we can only imagine. Now, of course, it is all about trying to win yourself $250,000, battling to be the last person standing.
Yep.
10 individuals. You're all isolated from each other and all other humans. You can tap out at any time. And, it's the last person to win. We don't know who wins yet at this stage, but can you just tell us what motivated you to punish yourself like this?
Yeah, I can. There's two things to it. First, I don't actually see it as punish myself. That's number one. I actually enjoy this kind of stuff, right? And number two, I noticed $250,000 on stake and all that, but in the end of the day, I don't think you can go into this for money alone, right? I think that motivation disappears pretty quickly when you're starving. For me, it was the one opportunity to be able to really, really test myself and push myself beyond the limits I've hit before and to really be able to do this. I think it would be very hard. Like, you can't just take time off work and then go out and sit in the forest and see how long. You're not gonna do it. So see it as a giant mental game, really.
Yeah. Well, I actually woke up last night in the middle of the night, Andreas. I was awake for a while. The mind was racing, and it was also like I've got two pillows, but they were both a little bit too thick to have my head on both of them, but I took one away and then just
I feel your pain.
It was like a little bit too low. Like, I was quite uncomfortable. How is it sleeping on dirt, on sticks, yep. on leaves that you've made for weeks on end. What is the discomfort like?
I explained this with one interesting little piece. So I'm a personal trainer by trade, and I'm really interested in body's physiology. And I'm similar to you. I can sleep really poorly, like shallow some nights. Mm. So I did a test once where I put a heart rate monitor on overnight and I slept. And I live in the middle of Sydney. I recorded my heart rate, my lowest heart rate and average heart rate. And then I did the same thing sleeping in a hammock in the middle of the bush. And my body has a 10 beats per minute lower resting heart rate sleeping in the woods. What? I confirmed that twice.
How what do you put that down to?
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest. But here's the thing. When I'm out in the forest, when the sun goes down, you're starting to get sleepy. You get back into your circadian rhythm and then you fall asleep. So, yeah, it'll be nice to have a nice bed and double pillows, but I actually sleep really well in the bush.
Yeah, but the mosquitoes, Andreas, that's what absolutely kills me. The thought of bugs, mosquitoes. I mean, does that not freak you out?
The sandflies in New Zealand were not active when it was pitch black. So in the middle of the night, they weren't as active as they were dusk and dawn. So that's okay. And in Australia, I think it's also a little bit overrated. Like, yeah, we got bugs and we got stuff that can bite you and all that. But like animals and bugs don't bite you just because. You might get a leech or two or get a couple of bites, but in the end of the day, like it's not as bad as people say. Like I spent nights like sleeping on the forest floor and you're fine. You're fine.
Right. Well, the good thing about New Zealand, no snakes. But the bad thing, of course, orcs and goblins and other creatures and trolls from Lord of the Rings. Did you encounter any of them in your time there, Andreas?
Oh, delirious times all the time.
That's it, because you'd be so hungry. Like, what's the longest you went without eating on this trip?
I can't probably answer that because we're only three episodes in.
What's the longest you've been in your whole life up until alone?
I can say this, that when you don't eat for a while, you don't look your best. That's one thing for sure. But if I refer, I have been in the Victorian High Country on very limited food. I haven't been in the bush with like no food, but I went once for a week where I only bought breakfast. I had some oats and some nuts for breakfast, and then I was like, I'll fish and hunt for the rest. And I walked 2 days into the bush and realized that the river where I was supposed to catch all my fish has been flooded and flushed out everything. So I basically starved for a week hunting was terrible. So I ate a handful of oats, some thistles, some plant food. Oof. And I think I lost like 7 or 8 kilos in that week.
Jeez. I usually sprinkle a bit of brown sugar on my oats in the morning. I've never put a bit of thistle on it. Never thought to do that. Andreas, thank you for joining us on this show. We look forward to seeing your progress as Alone Australia continues in New Zealand. Just finally, are there any quirky tactics that you're quite proud of? I know Gina, I was amazed season one when Gina went in, the only person, was it in Alone history who didn't take a sleeping bag, is one of her 10 items. Was there anything that you risked going in?
No, I was pretty stock standard. All the 10 items were sort of self-explanatory for me. And I basically think that you can't really prepare too much because you don't know what they're throwing at you. So you're going into this, and I think it's important that viewers looking at this, like, we do not know at all what we're getting ourselves into. So when we hop off that boat, that's the first time. And a lot of times you're looking in there and it's like, oh, crap, I should have done other choices, or I've prepared. Like, you can't prepare because you prepare, like, how many things do you need to prepare? Like, you can only sort of brush up on your skills and try to improve them, but you can't, like, set up a game plan. The game plan is you open your eyes in the morning, get through the day, find something to eat, make good use of the day, fall asleep and start again. See how many times you can repeat it.
Yeah, it is quite
amazing. Sounds like the world of podcasting, Andreas.
We turn the mics on and you just got to get through it. That's our approach to this little job here, Andreas. But you have to, because you are alone, like you've got to film yourself. And I remember doing a media movie in high school, Andreas, and we were shipwrecked and we were all standing there ready to go. I just remember the guy filming, we got the footage back and it was us standing and then we go calls action and then nothing happens. Then he presses record again. He got record and stop recording mixed up, so we missed the footage. Was there anything while you were out there, did you accidentally hit stop recording when you should have been recording? Was there anything that happened that you missed whilst recording yourself?
Tons. Like, you film a lot. And I filmed a lot and I've been in front of the camera before. But it's just the fact that it's like a full-time job trying to film and portray everything you do. And it's like as soon as something happens, like fast, you can't have cameras on 24 hour, like it doesn't work. And then in nature, certain things happen really quickly and you forget it or you miss it or you aimed the camera in the wrong direction or you forgot to switch off the camera when you probably should have and all those things. So like, I am so sorry for all the people that had to go through their editing the show afterwards and like picking out the good bits, you know. I'm sure they saw more than they wanted to.
Well, look, Andreas, thank you very much. We wish you all the best and how the outcome turns out for this second season of Alone Australia. You can catch it on Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m. on SBS or catch up with it on SBS On Demand. Good luck. And, you know, would you recommend people who are like you, who want to give themselves a bit of adventure, would you give it a go?
Give it a go, 100%. If you have an inclination and you think, I could do this, apply, do it. Like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Why wouldn't you?
Oh, amazing stuff. Thank you, Andreas. We appreciate your time. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for listening to this All Day Breakfast with Matt and Alex for another day.
And until tomorrow, I hope you have a good one.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.